Praise the Lord.
It's so good that we ended our prayer with Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. Because if it's not yet abundantly clear to us, the main point is our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, not just our Savior, but He is this heavenly great High Priest. And He's according to the order of Melchizedek. This is such a wonderful view to see our Lord in such light. Right? Because in these days, we are speaking about preparing for the Lord's return. And we all have this desire to reach the goal, to be qualified as His kings and priests in the coming millennial kingdom age. And because the time is so short, our preparation to mature early, to be taken by God our Father to be the first fruits. I hope this is, there's such a sense of urgency within our hearts, and that we have a desire to give our all to finish this last leg of the race. But it should also be very clear to us that only Him, Christ, as this great High Priest, He's the one who will lead us, supply us, transform us, and bring us to the goal.
Amen.
Right. You know, when I consider when we were talking about the beginning of the conference about the outlines, everyone keeps asking about the outlines. And yesterday, unfortunately, there was a problem with our recording, and we don't have the two recordings from yesterday morning. But I think when we were fellowshipping with the brothers, our sense was, well, now we can practice what we've been talking about. You don't even necessarily need the recording. What we need to hear is the Lord speaking.
No outline, no recording.
Exactly. No outline, no recording. Praise the Lord. Even He arranged that we didn't have recording yesterday morning. Why? Because He wants us to hear Him and hear Him only. Just as the Father said about Jesus, right? Hear Him. And may we all continue to hear Him. Not just in this time of the gathering with the fellowship, but to hear Him daily.
Amen.
In our daily life. Moment by moment. Just like that one song, which, by the way, was added to the hymn, the songbook. It's number 538, Moment by Moment, is in there. Right? And yesterday, we did see how wonderfully qualified our great High Priest is, because He is the obedient one to the Father. But we are the rebellious ones. As much as we want to learn obedience, we have the flesh. We have sin. And this is why in our natural man, we will always be rebellious towards God. And I'm not talking about just being rebellious from a very sinful way, but being rebellious in doing things our way. Right? How to prepare for the Lord's coming. Some might say, this is often spoken to me, is, John, why are you focused on the first fruits and the becoming kings and priests? It's just good enough to love God and preach the gospel, and that's it. Is that sinful? Was there anything wrong with that? Love God and just preach the gospel only. No. The Lord is showing us much more. And He is leading the way as the great High Priest. That He wants us to follow Him, but not just to follow Him, but He's going to supply us and train us that we would also be one with God our Father. And it is through the priesthood. Right? Because He is this priest forever. So why would we go contrary to that? Right? God Himself not only became a man, but He is now this heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Right? We read these verses. He is the King of righteousness and the King of peace. Why will we be contrary to that? But praise the Lord that we have one who is obedient to the Father. And day by day, we need to come to God through Him, that we also could be one with God our Father. We also saw that He is a compassionate high priest, because He's already gone through what we went through. Last night, the phrase I kept hearing in the fellowship was, "You don't know my situation. You just have no idea what I'm going through." I hear this actually quite often when we're fellowshipping, and invariably this phrase will always come up. "John, you have no idea what I'm going through." And I'm learning to say, you know what? You're right. Because I don't know, but God, as our heavenly great high priest, He knows. And as was emphasized last night, He is the compassionate one. He can sympathize. And He knows all of our challenges in our daily life. And so for me, more and more each day as we're fellowshipping with the saints in our daily life, what do I say to you, Sarah? Go to the great high priest. Right? He knows the best. But the question is, do we have the confidence to hold fast to the end, to know that the Lord will finish the work in you? Right? He's so wonderful. He is compassionate. Because why? Because we are not compassionate. Right, Jake? We want things done fast, right? And if it doesn't get done fast, we get impatient, right? Efficient. Right, efficiency. And if it's not efficient, we get very... You're fired. We'll fire you right away. Sharon knows very well when it comes to technology, I'm very impatient with her. She says, and this is the one thing the Lord is always reminding me. I am not compassionate. The Lord is compassionate. Amen. As the great high priest. And so, how much even the more we need the great high priest. Right? If we get frustrated and I start saying, "Sharon, why didn't you figure this out? I already told you this." Instead of saying, "No, I need to see my great high priest and not like, come on, you know, get it done." But to experience the Lord, to calm down and to explain, and then we both gain the Lord in this way. But this is just earthly things. How about the things pertaining to God concerning His house? Concerning Zion and His coming kingdom age. Right? This is why just to read the verses, there is really no need for an outline or even the recordings. Because if you read and read and pray with the Word, not so much praying words to God, but just pray with His Word, with an open heart to let Him speak to you. This is what God wants, so that we can hear His speaking. And when we hear His speaking and we receive it with a pure heart, a poor spirit, then He can speak to you. That's one thing I also realized in coming to the Word in this prayerful way. The Lord said, "Blessed are what? The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If I come to the Word with my thoughts and my concepts, and that's how I go about praying God's Word, then oftentimes I will miss the point. I will miss God speaking to me. And if my heart is not pure, right, it says, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God." If we wonder why we don't see God as we pray in His Word, it's because our heart is not pure. It's filtered. And when it's filtered, when there's colored glasses in our hearts, how can we see God? Right? And this is why it's so important. What is our attitude when we come to the Word? Is it just for my own self-interest? Or is it because I genuinely want to hear God speak? God speaking doesn't come from YouTube, right? Ryan, you learned that, right? Not those Instagram quick 30-second type of thing. That is not God speaking. God speaking is only in His Word. That's why it's so good to get into the Word in this way. And if we get into the Word this way, we will see how great and wonderful Christ is as this heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Right? And we should also realize, right, the Lord is obedient, we're rebellious. He's compassionate, we're condemning. He's the front runner. He is so much as we've been fellowshipping about. It should also be abundantly clear that we cannot do this on our own. It is impossible for our flesh to please God. By ourselves, as much as we want to make it, without the heavenly great high priest, there is no way we can make it. He gives us the command. Praise the Lord, it's good. We hear it. And we also have the desire to follow Him. But we can't do it by ourselves. This is so wonderful with this heavenly great high priest, Melchizedek. Right? When he came to Abraham, right? What did he give Abraham? Gave him food to eat. Today, we're not just trying to do something in of ourselves, but our wonderful great high priest has provided us all the provisions that we need that we can make it to the goal. Right? And when you're just reading through here, He is the King of righteousness. This is verse 2. The King of peace. He's the one who made it to the goal. He is at the throne of God. And His desire is that we would make it with Him up there. So this is why He is the King of righteousness and the King of peace. Right? Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So this is no father, no mother, no beginning or end of day of life. This is eternity, eternal.
Amen.
Right? And our fellowship during these past weeks, and I think one of the questions was, how can you fathom what is eternity? Something without beginning and something without end. Right? Much to consider with the Lord. And the priesthood remains, right? It says in verse 3, and made like the Son of God remains a priest continually. So the priesthood is already there from eternity past to eternity future. So why would we even question the matter of the priesthood anymore? This is who our Lord is.
Amen.
He is not just our Savior. But if we are going on to perfection, we are progressing. Our desire is to reach full growth, right? We all want to make it. Well, the priesthood is the way. Because the Lord is leading the way as our heavenly great high priest. Right? And so it's good that we would give our all to the Lord. Right? Abraham gave, what? A tithe, the top. We also talked about this in Fountain Valley. How much should we be giving? Jake, how much do you want to give?
My father, my best.
The best 10%?
However it is.
It should be the best 100%, our whole being.
Amen.
Right? He's given us his very best. Me, his entire, everything of his is ours. And why wouldn't we also then give our entire being to be one with him, to follow him, and to allow him to transform us so that we all can reach this goal, right? And praise the Lord, this perfection, as I said, can only be through the Lord, right? If we just want to bring this part here, verse 16, it says, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Right? Because in verse 11 it says, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people receive law, what further need has there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Right? The old covenant, the laws that were there. We cannot do it by ourselves. It's impossible. The children of Israel demonstrated very clearly that we cannot, in our natural man, reach the goal. Cannot be perfected. Cannot be transformed. It is only through the power of this endless life. Have you got this phrase? Is this phrase embedded in your minds? That we have the power of an endless life. If you ever get to a point where you're thinking, I can't make it. I can't change in this situation. I don't know if, BJ, if you ever felt that frustrated where you're like, I'm trying so hard and I can't change. Sometimes. And then what do? You try harder?
It gets worse.
Okay, it gets worse. But eventually, what happens? We turn to the Lord. When we turn back to our heavenly great high priest, this is our opportunity to experience the power of an endless life. This life has overcome. All the fellowship that we've been having, even last night, I was just jotting down some of the main points regarding such qualities and amazing things that the high priest is doing, has done for us already. And it's at our, it's at our fingertips. It's not our finger. It's within us already. And we have the potential to, if we turn to him and choose life, then he can help us overcome and he can help us be transformed. Right? That's why in verse 19, it says, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Right? The law has made nothing perfect. Even our good self-imposing laws will do what? Make nothing perfect. Right? For me, growing up in my Christian walk, the tendency is we hear the word and then we make our own self-imposed law. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, so that my walk with the Lord will be better. And oftentimes that leads to frustration because we can't achieve it. And rightfully so, because we're trying to do it ourselves. But where we need to see is there is a better hope through which we draw near to God. This is our heavenly great high priest. Spend time with him. Come to know him in this way. Oftentimes when I'm speaking with Sharon or with the family or with the saints, there's so many different things to quote, fellowship about, to deal with issues. And I'm always being reminded, talk less, pray more. Because we can't solve it ourselves. Only our great high priest can solve it. not only solve the problem, but he will transform us, supply us, and bring us on to perfection, and bring us further and further to reach the goal. Because he's the only one who can do what? Right? But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Praise the Lord for God's way. It's unchangeable. And if we continue to be, if we continue to draw near to him and work together with the Lord, then he will do it. Because verse 25, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. So Troy, what is uttermost? What is to the uttermost? We talked about this before. You remember? Okay, who else was, do you remember, BJ? Save to the uttermost. Because this was one of the questions that was asked in our fellowship here. Okay, everybody else? What does it mean to be saved to the uttermost? Sorry? To be like him. Okay, but to save to be to the uttermost, yes, to be like him, but for what? Saved to the uttermost just so that we can live a godly life? So that we can reach this goal to be at the throne together with him. That's saved to the uttermost. He doesn't want us just partially saved, not just initially saved. But he wants us to be saved to the uttermost. Rebecca, can you imagine yourself sitting together with the Lord at the throne? Okay. Not complete confidence yet, right? And this is why we need to hold fast to him. Because he will bring us to the goal. And he is the only one, right? He is also able to save to the uttermost, but there's a condition. It says, those who come to God through him. So for sure, not by ourselves, but it's through him. That's why this hymn is so good. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Right? We've been very much enjoying in the fellowship in Fountain Valley, this verse in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is this verse just knowledge to us? Or is this our reality? Our conscious experience day by day, when the time we wake up to go through the day to live Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Right? For us to experience this unchangeable priesthood, for us to be saved to the uttermost, this has to become our daily life, the norm in our life, to walk by the Spirit. Right? Galatians 5:16, I said this before to some of the younger saints. Paul said, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh isn't just all the negative sins. The lust of the flesh is also some of the things that we have to do in normal daily life. Anything that replaces God, all of these things can creep into our lives. Right? We talk about, everyone's always telling one another, oh my, we're so busy. You chuckle, right? We're busy. We have to work. We have to take care of the kids. Some of you are going to school. Some are playing sports. There's so many things that the enemy is doing to occupy us. I know for those who are working high tech, what's occupying you is what? The disruption of that industry due to a new emerging technology that will take the whole world by storm. So are we really so occupied with all of that? Or are we learning to come to God through Him, through our great high priest, that He could save us to the uttermost? Or is my mind still so distracted at all of the things I have to take care of? I'm not saying you quit your job, because you still need to work. We still live in this world. We still have kids. We need to raise them up. Not just to raise them up to be good kids to go to a good university, but we want to raise our children up to be what, Emery? Kings and priests, godly offsprings. Right? So we're not saying you stop everything, but what we're saying is, how do you go about your daily life? Are we drawing near to Him? Are we coming to Him with the view of, Lord, save me to the uttermost? In this situation, I want to experience You, not just to help me get through the day, but Lord, transform me so that I am qualified, that we all will be qualified to become kings and priests. Because He is the qualified one. That's why it says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner, and He has become higher than the heavens. Now, is that just knowledge to you, or is this experience? Is this reality to us? Right? Because this is the one thing the Lord also has been speaking to me is, yes, we're getting into so much more. There's new light, so to say, in Hebrews. We're seeing more things about the Lord as a great high priest. But how is it going to be when we all go home tomorrow? Monday, many of you are traveling home, or many of us are going back to work. Is this just now knowledge, Corey? Or is this going to be, I want to draw near to God. I want to draw near to this wonderful high priest in my daily life, on the job. And it's not just, you know, I mean, yes, God is very specific with the priesthood. Will we go home and live in this consciousness with the view in mind? The Lord is coming soon. He wants us to make us first fruits to become kings and priests. And then in that day, we'll walk with Him, to walk by the Spirit. Not I, but Christ on the job. Not I, but Christ in raising the kids. So many areas of our daily life that our wonderful, marvelous, great high priest, who is fitting, who can meet all our needs. Not just to meet our needs, but the goal is to bring us all the way to the throne. That's why it is the main point. Hebrews, what is the main point? It is this wonderful high priest. Not on the cross, but the one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Not just each one of it individually, but all of us together as His holy and royal priesthood. As Zion, His kingdom. This is the main point. So may we all be encouraged to enter in to experiencing such a rich Christ in experience and reality that causes changes in our lives. And this can only be done through Him. May we continue to hear the Lord speak to us in our daily life, and that we respond to Him, that we could be brought to perfection by Him and Him alone. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
fellowship from the saints. Let's pray.
I am very much encouraged with the word this morning.
Very much.
Yes. yes, I appreciate these two verses in 25 and 26. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Yeah, this verse has been ringing in my ears for the last couple of years. Because I have come to the realization that I am not able to save myself. I really tried. Been a Christian for many years. And it's not by reading the Bible more or attending more meetings. But he is the one who is able to save me. And to the uttermost means that my whole entire being needs to be saved. Yeah, not just my spirit, but my soul, my mind, emotion, will. And even the Lord is able to sanctify our bodies because he always lives to make intercession. Yeah, this is wonderful. And then I appreciated this verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us. I like this word, fitting. When you buy like expensive clothing, you can either just buy like the ones that's already made for you and just make sure that it fits, or you can buy one that's custom made. And our Christ, it says here, he is fitting for us. That means when we put him on, he perfectly fits our every measurement. Yeah. Whether you're tall, short, large, small, young, or old, he is fitting for us. I appreciated this word, fitting. We have such a wonderful Christ. No matter what situation, difficulty that we go through, he is the one who is able to save us. And he is also says here that he is firstly holy. So the first criteria of being a priesthood is that he is holy. If we don't gain Christ as the holiness, then there is no priesthood. Yeah. But praise the Lord. He is holy, and then he says he is harmless. I have experienced in my church life that I am harmful. if I don't live Christ, I'm harmful to others. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is harmless. Yeah, I appreciated this word very much. So every detail of this high priest is exactly what we need. So we praise the Lord. He is such a high priest. This word such is mentioned many times here because as we get into the book of Hebrews, the more and more we realize how great and how wonderful he is. Praise the Lord for manifesting yourself to us.
Yeah, I appreciate how it starts here in verse 1. It says, the priest of the Most High God met Abraham. Praise the Lord. He initiated. He met Abraham. Are we so precious? What would be the reason for God to meet you? Did you initiate? Were you busy and diligent and this and that to find him? No, he met Abraham. Praise the Lord. The Most High God met Abraham, and not only that, and blessed him. Praise the Lord. We all need the blessing of this Most High Priest. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, King of Salem, King of Peace, has no beginning of days nor end of life. This aspect, life, really stood out to me, because the Lord came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. I mean, there's no end of life. There's no lack of supply in our great high priest. And this is the fundament or the foundation of this priesthood. In verse 16, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment. What are laws, fleshly commandments? Thou shall. Thou shall do this, or thou shall not do this. That's like religion, but he came according to the power of an endless life. In some translations, it's an indestructible life. It's a life that is so powerful that nothing can stand against it. And this is also the experience we can have in the Lord, to overcome whatever death, sin, whatever is opposing the furtherance of his work in our being. We can draw upon this power of an indestructible life to overcome. And this life is also undefilable. Right? It's so pure, so holy. That's exactly what we need. And as we go, and we've been fellowshipping a lot in Europe over the picture of the tabernacle and the way to enter in this process, the lever and the burnt offering altar. And by the time you go through this process, you're washed in the laver, and then you're purified. So washing just washes the outward parts, but then you go through fire, then even the innermost parts are fully melted, and all the impurities are burned away, so that when you enter in to the tabernacle, the holy place, it's all of gold. And the only way to go in there is if you're also golden, and Christ is this gold for us. Such holiness, harmless, undefilement, separate from sinners, separate from everything outside. And this is the priesthood we can partake in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.